Morning, church. Let us pray. Father God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and for whom no secrets we are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our heart by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Good morning. My name is Dixon Beckley. For those of you who don't know my name, I'm a full-fledged member of Campbell United Methodist Church. It's a honor under the leadership of Pastor Okion for inviting me to this pulpit to share my Christmas story with church family. As we all know, Christmas is one of the most wonderful time of the year. And we say it is wonderful because people commemorate to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And also the gospel testifies that Jesus Christ is our Lord and personal Savior. So we see why people go all over the place celebrating Christmas in a grand style. If we follow up with history, I think one thing I read is that billions of people from all over the world celebrate Christmas in diverse cultures, in various contextual ways. It also says both believers and unbelievers do celebrate Christmas in their own way. And I think my African brothers and sisters can testify that back home in Africa, we have like only two major religions, which is the Christian and the Muslims. I believe there might be some other more, but dominantly we talk about Muslims and Christians. So when Christmas comes, time like this, I mean, there is no segregation. The Muslims, in fact, they will be more excited to celebrate Christmas than some of us who are Christians. It's very amazing to see. They'll plan it very well, more than us. They'll prepare. I mean, they'll jump out in the streets, just as the former speaker was saying, John, the Jankanu, all their styles. I mean, there's a lot of similarities in celebrating Christmas with us from West Africa. We have what we call the Tangis. So we're coming from Jankanu to Tangis. So pretty much it's all the same. So Tangis is a celebration wherein people will come. It's like it's been there forever, for ages, from time immemorial. So I would say pretty much when we gained independence from the Britain in 1961, we started celebrating Tangis. So Tangis means old days, old fashioned, old days. So up till now, they do Tangis. So it's like they teach the kids, they grow up with it, and they pass it on. So that's like it's like a baton. It keeps going. It will never stop because we believe in tradition and we stand firm on it. As Pastor Kati used to say, a society without a tradition is insecure. So that bind us together. That's tradition, actually bind us together. And we celebrate Christmas in a wonderful style. If we want to look at Tangis, when they say Tangis Festival, this is where you see a lot of people in the street. They dress in special clothes. For my tribe, I'm a Creole. Yeah. Some people call me Creole boy. Oh, yes, I'm a Creole. So we have certain dress that our parents will put on, or like the women, they'll put on clothes like, we call it kabaslot and kotoku. And then with the canvas shoes, they go to church on Sunday. When it's Christmas Day, you have to go to church on that day. And then after church, you come home, you have food, you enjoy with family, lustily. And then most of the time, we reserve our energy for the next day, which is the Boxing Day. So you see, it's all around. It's just the same thing. So Boxing Day is, you will see varieties of masquerade along the street of Freetown, wherein you will see masquerade like Bloody Mary will come out in the streets, dressed in masquerade. People will dress specially, dancing, drumming, using two cups, like aluminum cups, beating them together, all over the place singing, "Happy Christmas, me no die, oh. Happy Christmas, me no die, oh. Tell God thank you for me life, oh." You know, so I think most of you guys here can understand Creole now. So, I mean, you exactly know what I'm singing. It's like, "Happy Christmas, you're alive. And thank God you didn't die." You know? It's not like you are better than those who are dying at Christmas. No, but it's because of the grace of the Almighty God upon you. And so you have to be happy to celebrate Christmas in that style. So people will be out there and singing lustily to the honor of the birth of Christ. And it's wonderful to see. When it comes to food, oh my gosh, you guys have seen everything here. When we have our epiphany, you just see, that's just a preamble. We have quality foods. We have good food that we prepare for Christmas. And some of these foods are very traditional. You know, you will not see them until another Christmas, you know. So if I say I want to elaborate on the food, honestly, I won't step down right now. I'll be here for the next 1 hour. So let's keep it simple. We say we have a lot of traditional foods. You name them, you know, beans akara, fufu and bitas, you know. We have fufu and sour. We have some people cook jollof rice, you know. We have finger foods like akara, beans akara, rice akara, potatoes, plantains, in different forms. I mean, I can see you guys celebrating right now, but don't worry about it. One day we'll celebrate Christmas feast here. So I actually want to thank God for that, that we keep passing it on, so that people are celebrating in different contexts. So I see, now I understand, I honestly figured out why everybody celebrates the birth of Christ in their own context, and regardless of who you are, nationality, race, religion, whatever, you know. When I move around Christmas, just around this Bay Area, I see a lot of similarities in terms of celebrations. You see, just by standing out in the mall and look, you see people going helter-skelter, chasing to buy gifts. Go there, go there. Some grandparents are so confused. One met me in the store and was asking me, "Oh, where can I find, how you call the game? Pokemon or something?" I don't even know how to call those things, you know. Yeah, so I said, just ask the staff, she will direct you. You know, it's so sad, but I mean, that's the gift of Christmas. It's just the gift of Christmas, wherein people have to go around, follow tradition, and do what it is. Okay? I also want to say this 2019 Christmas was a very spectacular for me, because I want to say I saw a light. I saw the light. We all say Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and He's the light. He's the light of salvation. I actually saw this light, this bright light I will describe. This Christmas, I was blessed that I was able to have like a 1 hour class. I've never done it with my kids. I mean, sometimes we sit down, we talk. I got two boys, 10 and 6, Dalton and Joshua respectively. We talk, I teach them about Christmas, but this particular season, I spent like an hour teaching them about the birth of Christ, the significance of celebrating Christmas holiday. And they really appreciate it, because I can tell that they learned from it. I asked them a lot of questions. They were able to give me back what I taught them. And I really felt so good within myself, because we actually have to teach these kids so they understand what Christmas is all about. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, when I move around, there's a lot of similarities of how we celebrate Christmas. I saw the Christmas lights, the trees, hangings, all over the place. So I actually teach them those kind of things so that they know what to look for when it's Christmas, and then they will learn it, so that in the future they're able to reproduce and pass it on to their own kids. And that's how we keep continue to maintain the tradition. I didn't only limit it to that version. I also went typically to the Creole tradition. Remember I said I'm a Creole boy? Oh, yes. So we talked about one of our main dish for Christmas, which is fufu and bitas. So those of you who are sitting there, my African brothers who are not Creole, but you might have heard fufu and bitalif, fufu and bitas. So fufu and bitas is just too amazing to watch someone cooking it. So I've been telling them about fufu and bitas. So because I gave them that 1 hour lectures, they actually asked me when we were driving home back from Christmas in the park. And then the little one who is 6 years old is very bold. He's not scared of asking any question. Daddy, what are you going to cook for us for Christmas? Are you going to cook for us fufu and bitas? Yes. I actually paused for a little while because I know fufu and bitas is not a child's play. If you say you know how to cook, then you have to take more classes to learn. Even if you take classes, you have to practically do it yourself, maybe 3, 4, 5 times before you can know exactly what fufu and bitas is. Because if you don't be careful, you'll have to throw the whole pot away. So normally, when you want to cook fufu and bitas, you have to prepare yourself for like a week. My grandma will start preparing for like a week to cook fufu and bitas. You have to get the bitter leaf itself. There's a process of crushing it, blend it, and squeeze it, get the bitter water out, and prep it, dry it in the sun, and all those kind of things before you can prepare it. You don't only do that, you have other leaves, other plants that you can go out and find, just as what John was saying. You have other plants that you have to go look for to mix in that bitter leaf for you to make it okpoto. That's the native name, we call it okpoto. So for you to have that okpoto, you have to make sure you have all those leaves to make it complete. You have to get like efo onyori, ejefao. Yeah, ejefao is called eat broke plate. You know, eat broke plate is like, it's easy, it's creole. Eat broke plate is like you eat and break the plate because you enjoy the sauce so much. So there you see some people will even lick the plate. They will even lick at it, you know. So maybe you will keep licking until it fell down and break. So we call it eat broke plate, ejefao. So some of my Nigerian folks are standing there too. They know this is traditional. It's interrelation. It's all over West Africa. So for us as Creole, I prepared that meal for them, for my kids. They stood in the kitchen and they watched me doing every single thing until I finished. And then I turned the fufu. You know, the fufu is not like something easy too. You have to prepare the cassava, you have to ferment it, you have to let it ferment and soak it in water and then drain the water and start cooking it. So that one, if you don't know how to draw it also, it's another issue, you know. So they watched me, they saw me doing all the stuff, you know, and then they were really amazed. And we all sat down together and enjoyed it. And at the end of the day, they were like, Daddy, thank you for cooking for us. So I actually sense that they enjoy and appreciate my gift of cooking. Amen. Amen. Also, I also want to extend my sharing to say I empowered a lot of individuals of the population that I work with. For those of you who don't know, I'm a mental health professional. So I work in a mental health, stroke, behavioral health, crisis setting. I mean, these are people who are diagnosed mentally name them, a lot of diagnosis. Schizophrenia, major depressive disorder, attention deficit disorder, and so on. A lot of them. So bipolar, you know, these are people that I work with. I deal with them every day, every blessed day. It's not an easy job, you know, but it's the will of God. Amen. So I'm proud to say I was able to transform their lives by bringing the light of the world to them. I was able to get them together and facilitate groups, very good groups on the Christmas topic. So they really enjoyed it, and they understand the significance of Christmas. And some of them were very participative, and you can tell from their facial expression that they really enjoyed the session of the significance of Christmas. I also took them to other activities in the community, Christmas activities, and they had a lot of fun. They enjoyed it. And excuse me. And we sang a lot of beautiful songs together. I taught them a lot of Christmas carols. I do drumming for them. I really entertained them at this Christmas. So they really liked it. So, and I mean, it's a call. So within my heart, as I see that light, I was so moved to entertain them with such a wonderful Christmas gift. So when we talk about Christmas gifts, it's not only to go buy stuff in the store and give people gift. It's also we consider what you can give to people, how you can transform people. If you have the gift of preaching, I'm preaching to you guys, that's a gift. You have a gift of singing, you sing to people, that's a gift. You have a gift of counseling people, that's a gift. And that's all about Jesus. Jesus Christ is a gift to the world. Amen? So finally, my brothers and sisters, I want to say this Christmas, I spend my time praying a lot. Prayers. So it's not only to enjoy and merry in Christmas, you also have to pray. Amen? There's nothing that Jesus Christ did in this world without prayers. Before he even healed the sick, he will pray. Before he do this, he will pray. Everything. So this Christmas, I spent a lot of time praying. I prayed for the church, I prayed for family, I prayed for friends, I prayed for a lot of things. So I want to say this Christmas, I'm so blessed that I spend most of my time praying together. And I want to close by saying Christmas is all about giving, so let us don't draw our hands back. Let us feel free, deep hands in our pockets, give to the church, give to the poor, and let us share. Amen. And I give out gifts this Christmas season. I give gifts to people. People give me gifts. But I want to say I give more gifts out than what I received. And I want you to join me to say amen. Because the scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. So I think I really saw that light. And because of that light, I want to say I have a brighter hope for the 2020. And it shall be well with all of us in this sanctuary sitting down. And even those who should be here that are not here will have their own portion of blessing wherever they are this time. So I will conclude to say, may the good Lord continue to bless us all. Amen.